Okay, well, as I said, this is not the topic I started out with. My intent was to teach on preparation. And when you look back and you think about it, we prepare for all kinds of different things throughout our lives. We prepare for tests when we're kids. We prepare for driver's tests. We prepare for sporting events. Think of Andy and Sean who just did the Spartan. You know, you go and you do a certain amount of preparation before you do it. I didn't find that a lot of folks are necessarily preparing to share the gospel with others. That was my original intent. As I started praying about it, looking it up, the Lord spoke to me and said, what I need to speak about this morning is what the Bible says about hate. And it really surprised me. I'm looking at Bob. Hate. Yeah, that was the same. That was my exact reaction right there. Is
why do you want me talking about that?
That was really my reaction. It's like, I didn't understand it. I still don't know that I do, but apparently it's what the Lord wanted me to speak on. So this is where we go. Think about how you feel when somebody says, I hate you. It's a statement that's meant to hurt people. And that's really the only thing that statement is good for. It damages them. It breaks them down. Breaks their spirits. The person who makes that statement, the person who says, I hate you, the only thing that they're trying to accomplish is to inflict emotional pain or to feel in control of the person who they're saying it to. It's a tactic of Satan, and there's no real other way that you can look at it other than that. He's the main user of hate. And he's always looking for ways to make Christians doubt or feel inferior. The word hate is only meant to destroy. I look back to when my daughter was growing up. Most of you know Kaylee. Grown out of the house now. Great, great kid. We found that even before she started in grade school, she started saying stupid. I'm stupid. This is stupid. That's stupid. We noticed when she said it, when she was, especially if she was talking about herself, I'm stupid type thing. You could see her whole demeanor change. You could see that she went from being happy, relaxed, kind of in control of everything that's going on, to tense, unhappy, and feeling broken. And I was thinking about it this morning, and I don't ever remember teaching my daughter what the word stupid meant at that young age. The same thing can be said about hate, right? You put a big old plate of meat and vegetables in front of a child, or in Andy's case, broccoli, right? And what do they say? They'll take one little bite and they say, I hate this. I don't, you know, I can't stand it. I hate it. I don't want to eat it, right? We didn't teach them that. At least I didn't teach them that. Again, it's just something that I think that Satan uses that word to break us. Biblically, there are things that God hates, and I'm going to cover a lot of those things as we kind of go through this. On the flip side of it, think about how it feels when someone says, I love you. That word, the word love, the phrase, I love you, is meant to show somebody how much they mean to you. It means no matter what, I'll stay by your side. I'll lift you up and support everything that you do. You think about when we get married, and you know, we all love our spouses. Those of us who are married, when you stand up and you say those vows to that person, you're expressing your love. And you're expressing the love of Christ through those vows, that these things I will not do. And because I love you the way Christ first loved me, I will stand by you through the tough times as well as the good times. Christ did this for each one of us when he died on the cross. This is the one person who never hated anyone. He hated the sin, but he never hated the sinner. When he was at the cross, he stated in Luke 23:34, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Christ made this statement as he was being crucified, as he was being nailed to a tree. "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." If that's not love for your fellow man, I don't know what is. Hate in the dictionary, looking it up on Webster's, is an intense hostility or an aversion, usually deriving from fear, anger, or a sense of injury, or an extreme unlike or disgust. I look at our political climate today. I look at some of the junk that gets said. I think it's a word that's overused. In my opinion, speaking the word hate should only refer to the sins that people commit, not the people themselves. Christ states, Matthew 5:44, that we're to love our enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Again, if you look at our world's political state, it's an ongoing example of what is not stated by Christ. You listen to the political newsmakers and all of that stuff that's out there. The word hate is used by the opposing parties really frequently. Because of that, I don't think people who aren't saved, and I think people who are, you know, little kids, they've normalized the word. They've taken some of the punch out of the word. For Christians, I think we should treat hate just like any other four-letter word that's used, right? Again, going back to that, you know, you think of the nastiest four-letter word that's out there, and we've all heard them in our places of work and, you know, construction sites, whatever it might be, how nasty those sound, the word hate should be considered in the same text, the same volume as that. I don't think that what we've talked about even so far has gone far enough. Hate, in my opinion, shouldn't be uttered by a Christian. If we look at 1 John 4:19-20, it states, "We loved him because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar." 1 John 2:8-11, "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." 1 John 3:14-15, "We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." In these verses, the true meaning of the difference between love and hate start to emerge. We can't, as Christians, harbor hate for anybody. We should all hate the sin, and there's nothing biblically wrong with hating the sin that's committed, but we need to love the sinner. Christ states we're to love the sinner. We're to love the person who sins against us. The only way that I know how to do that is through Christ. It's not something I can accomplish on my own. In Proverbs 8:13, Whoop, went too far. It states, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Personally, I need to let that sink in. Again, you hear so much nasty language when you're at your place of work, when you're out with non-Christian non-Christians, or when something goes completely wrong, hanging drywall at your house, pounding nails, you know, doing something like that, and you smack your thumb. It's an instant thought to have those perverse thoughts. Instant, right? What, you know, the first thing that pops up in most people's mind isn't, thank you, Lord, for letting me have a blue thumb. It's the other stuff. When this happens, try to remember this proverb and what it states in it, that God hates a perverse mouth. And it's not just the mouth, it's the thoughts that start back in us and then come out of the perverse mouth. First John 4:19 and 20. These verses start to show the contrast between love and hate. We love him because he first loved us. If somebody says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother who he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? In the world's view, it's really difficult to love somebody that's wronged us, but we're not to hate them. We can, again, as Christians, hate the sin that was committed, even if it's committed against us, but not the sinner. We should be, as believers, at war with the sin of hating others. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven. Are an abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. Again, these things are what I said the Lord hates. If we follow him, we should all hate these sins as well. That is Proverbs 6:16 through 19. A little compare and contrast. I work with numbers all day, so I'm a little bit of a numbers guy. What I did is I took just the root words for each one of these, hate and love. Hate is mentioned 104 times, just in its root form in the Bible. Love, again, just not including loving kindness or loving or anything else, is 310. This doesn't include, again, all the other iterations that are involved. So that's an average for love of almost 9.4 times in each book of the Bible. Hate, 3.1. That right there tells us how much more important, if nothing else, love is to God than hate. I went back through and I tried to find the first time hate was mentioned in the Bible. And my original thought was Cain and Abel. No, which really surprised me. Cain rose up against Abel. Never states that he hated Abel. So it was just, to me, that was really kind of unique. As I was going through, the first time that I saw where a group hated against another group, and please, if I missed this, if I didn't find it earlier, let me know, was in Leviticus 19:18. And it says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself, as I am the Lord. It doesn't specifically state hate in that verse, but it talks about vengeance and the things that we shouldn't necessarily be feeling. So to me, that was really interesting, because like I say, I thought the first place that would come up would be in Genesis. But going through the study, I didn't find where the word hate came up anywhere in Genesis. It was really interesting. If we bounce back into the New Testament, we start talking about love. John 15, verses 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And John 15, 15 states, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 Peter 4, 8, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Proverbs 10, 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Then in Micah 6, 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. As I was going through this, I started to notice the differences, the drastic differences between love and hate. I want to obey all the commandments that are outlined for us as a born-again believer. In order to do this, I can't allow the hate of a person or a people group to cloud my following of Christ in my life. As stated by Christ, we're to love our enemies. And how do we do this? The only way that I can accomplish this is through Christ's love for me. It's not something I can do on my own. It's not something any of us can do on our own. We're all born sinners. We all, looking back, knew what hate was at that very early age. Not because we hear it on TV or we see it in video games or we've heard it said out and around. It's something because of sin that dwells in each one of us. God's love was so great, he sent his son to take our place so that we can all have eternal life. There is no hate in that. There are a lot of groups that preach hate, and being believers in the only true and living God, we shouldn't be among them. You hear a lot of people that talk about hate in the Christian communities. It's not something that we should look at. It's not something that we as Christians, again, should not hate a people group for what they do. We should love the people group enough to try to win them to Christ. We can hate the sins, absolutely. Again, as it is, it's biblical to hate the sins that are being committed, but we are not to hate the people.